Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yesterday, Kevin, in this time slot, and on behalf of Roger Haddon and everyone at Sunbury Broadcasting, we apologize. I'll tell you exactly what your you sounded like yesterday. In attempting to tell everyone why
if it wasn't for the
Super Bowl, football would be nothing.
That's not what I said. I never even alluded to that. Wow, that is so way off.
Man. I think we summarized it pretty well.
Talk about misquote.
It's a one-day event. That's why people love football.
I said it's a one-day event, and because it's only one game, that's why people love the Super Bowl more.
No, it doesn't explain the regular season, which has higher ratings in the World Series. It reminded me of the movie The China Syndrome.
I haven't seen that. It's been a long time, but I do know the movie.
Yes. Jack Lemmon is in the containment building, and they finally get a film crew in. Jane Fonda is the reporter, Michael Douglas as the cameraman, and he's finally getting to the point after he's taken over the power plant with a gun, which is about what you did yesterday.
No, wait, what? He's about to the point what now?
He's taken over the power plant, the nuclear power plant.
Oh, okay, yes.
And has a gun.
Okay, yes.
I said,
yes.
Which is akin to about what you did yesterday in a verbal way.
Okay.
And he's rambling. And then finally, when he's just about to get to the point, he gets murdered by the security personnel. You rambled, and I don't know if you ever got to the point.
I'm sure I got to the point a couple of times. I don't think you heard the point or agreed with the point, but I'm pretty sure I got to the point. I'm not sure you wanted to hear the point.
Buter and I walked away just completely confused. I mean, Buter was sitting right there. Even he was like, I don't know. I don't get this. You said that the Super Bowl is because it's a one-day event. That's why people love it.
It's a one game for all the marbles. That's what people like about it. It's the only champion. It's the only major championship that decides it that way.
Well, what do you think the BCS is?
Professional. Sorry, I didn't put a throw in professional.
What do you think the NCAA championship game is?
Pardon me for omitting the word professional.
College basketball. They have one game to determine the whole thing. It's not a best of three down at the Georgia Dome this year. You get one shot.
I'll tell you what. You cannot make an omission or mistake on this program.
What are you talking about? I mean, you make a blanket statement.
I omitted the word professional. It is the only major professional event that decides its championship with one game.
Indianapolis 500.
But that doesn't decide its championship. That's not a championship event. That is a big race in the calendar, but it's not the championship.
To most fans, it's the whole ball of wax.
I will respectfully disagree wholeheartedly. If you're a fan of IndyCar racing, you love the 500. You love the 500, but it is not the entire season.
Yeah.
That's like saying the Daytona.
I guess the TV ratings to show you as to what the casual fan thinks. This all deals with the casual fan. The casual fan... Okay, you make the mistake in this argument is that you confuse the diehard fan with the casual fan.
Okay,
the diehard fan. Let's go to what you love, IndyCar racing.
Love IndyCar.
Okay? So the pack of 10 of you that love it to death.
That's probably okay? true.
All right? Think that the Pocono 400, which we're going to be at, and I'm excited to be at. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to, for us to be at. Okay? You like Milwaukee. You like
Milwaukee.
Indianapolis. Yep. You like Pocono. The fact that you'll be back in the Tri-Oval. You
love
like
the Baltimore race.
Racing Baltimore, Kansas, whatever. Okay? I got it. The diehard is there no matter what. They're there all the time. No matter what, they're always there. Why?
Absolutely.
Because you love it. Okay? But to the casual fan, the only race run every year is the Indianapolis 500.
I get that. I do get that.
Okay. Now let's get back to your point about football. What has happened in football is that based on the ratings, and last year in the ratings of the top 20 shows for the year, and this is all shows, NCIS, SVU, whatever, okay? Two and a Half Men, okay? How I Met Your Mother. 17 of the top 20 shows are all NFL games.
17? That's more than I would have thought.
But that's the popularity of the sport right now. That's why Sunday Night Football was so attractive to NBC. Why they took the Monday night package and shifted it to Sunday night. Because they wanted to get that primetime programming on Sunday night and beat the living daylights out of everybody, and they got it. That's why they took the AFC in the alternate years, AFC-NFC championship games, and shifted it to Sunday night. That's why the Saturday NFL playoff games in the opening round are played in prime time. Okay, they pick a game and put it in prime time because of the popularity of the National Football League. Okay, that's why the Super Bowl is now played in February, because February, along with November and May, are sweeps months for television networks. That's why you see all the great specials. That's why you see the great miniseries. That's why you see the great events in November, February, and May. That's why you see the cliffhangers come out in May. Why are the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals, why are they in June every year?
That's a very good question, because that is one long season.
Because the networks do not want them playing the NBA finals in May during sweeps month.
Because the numbers just aren't there for that sport.
Exactly. See, that's, you know, there are reasons behind why schedules are made. And why the NFL is that popular. They have been able to attract more casual fans and turn them into diehard fans and expanded the casual fan base beyond words. Where the Super Bowl is just an extension of the regular season. Yes, they'll draw far more viewers for a Super Bowl. They'll draw 112 million, so there are many more casual fans, and they've turned it into the event that you've talked about. You're correct about that. But they've laid such a huge foundation to allow that to happen. That's why. And this all started in the 60s. This all started in the 60s.
Well, I think there's one other thing, too, that makes the football, not necessarily the NFL, but football, a very popular sport and why it surpassed baseball. Baseball has so many games. There are a lot of opportunities to see it. Football only has 16 games in the NFL season and a bye week. That's why I think that becomes more popular. There's less opportunity to see a game. That creates a little bit of a stir.
No, I think it's the pace of the game and how it's played, the hitting. I think there's a lot that goes into this.
Well, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but no.
You're talking August is the preseason, September, October, November, December, January, the first week of February. Okay, it's still a long season. I mean, as I pointed out to Bill O'Brien at one point this year, know, and I was doing the pregame show with him. I said, you've told everyone that, you know, you're playing 12 one-game seasons. I said, is your personal sense of urgency reinforced by the fact that you coached 23 games last year and you're only coaching half as many games this year? Four preseason games, 16 regular season games, three playoff games, 23.
Then why the lack of interest in what was once called the World League of American Football, or NFL Europe? Because part of the problem there, my feeling was, that the games were all over the place. Because they were in different countries and different time zones, it was much harder to televise them live here in the United States.
Kevin, who's the quarterbacks?
I don't know. I knew you were going to say this.
Exactly.
I knew if you were going to say that.
If you don't know who the players are, all right, it's like, oh, what? I mean, even the casual fan knows Peyton Manning's a Denver Bronco. Even the casual fan knows that Aaron Rodgers is Green Bay's quarterback. They know Eli Manning's the Giants quarterback. The casual fan knows who Robert Griffin III is. They know who Andrew Luck is. They're getting to know who Russell Wilson is. They know who Tom Brady is. Casual fan, for the most part, knows who Joe Flacco is. They really now know who Colin Kaepernick is. Okay? When Galen Hall was coaching over in Frankfurt, nobody knew who the hell his quarterback is, including Galen.
Then if the action and the nonstop action is one of the main reasons we like football, mm-hmm. why do we struggle, or why does the Arena Football League struggle? There's constant action in there. All the time.
Yeah, but it's not football.
And they're scoring all the
time.
It's not football.
Okay. You get used to what you like to see. That's why I think the USFL, I think if they had continued doing what they were doing, I think they were going to be a success. I think the USFL, you know, and I think I have great respect for Donald Trump. I think the USFL is one of the things I don't think he quite got right.
I look forward to its return. I really do.
Well, I think if they do it right, it'll be very good. You know?
I mean, there is a big letdown. This is my own personal opinion. After the Super Bowl, there is a humongous letdown. I mean, I'll watch the Daytona 500. I am not a huge NASCAR fan, but I will watch it because it's an event. And it's in February, and there's nothing else really on. Not a big NBA fan. I'll watch college basketball, but it's not, for me, a destination thing yet until baseball starts. So that void in February between football and baseball, that's a rough time for me.
Oh, I mean, I've got college basketball.
No, and that's what I said. I watch college basketball, but it hasn't been a destination thing for me over the
years. Yeah, it is. It is for a lot of people. The NCAA basketball tournament.
No question. The tournament's a different story.
One of the things that makes the NCAA tournament so attractive is that because they draw casual fans. Well, how do you do that? Well, remember, for example, you have people who are fans of their team, but as an example. Let's take Michigan State makes the tournament. How many alums do you have that are Michigan State alums in Arizona, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Kansas? Ohio State alums. Ohio State makes the tournament. Their alumni base is all over the country. Now when Penn State made the tournament 2 years ago and Penn State went out to Tucson, the number of people spraining ankles jumping on the bandwagon was fun to watch because, you know, there are Penn State alums all over the place. Suddenly there are people who are Penn State alums who may not be basketball fans, but, man, they're all over it. They can't wait to watch the game because Penn State's in it. They fill out their bracket. Penn State's name is there. You know, that's one of the charm of the tournament. Now, I know when we were talking about the Northern Illinois thing, okay, you mentioned, well, I think you referenced Gonzaga and Butler.
Right, those Cinderellas that always seem to come out of the tournament that everybody loves.
Yeah, well, Butler and Gonzaga are no longer Cinderellas.
Not now, no. At one point they were, but not now.
I remember picking Gonzaga to beat Minnesota. That's how far back. It's the first time I picked Gonzaga on a chart, and they won. Okay? And somebody said, and Dan Munson was the coach. And you know what Minnesota did?
No, I don't remember.
They hired him. They hired him. Well. And it didn't go so well. They were put on probation because of what Clem did and so forth. Yeah, they were.
No, the tournament is one of those. It's one of those things that
that's
you will
three
make.
Weeks.
That you'll make a destination to watch that. Now, but a regular college basketball, it has to be a big game. I'm not going to watch just a regular game. That's again, I would be defined as what you would say a casual fan of college basketball. So I think a spring football league has an opportunity, simply because.
Sure does.
You know, there's a market there, and I think there's a void there if they started at the right time.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back with more. And again, if you'd like to go to the podcast and become confused like the rest of us from yesterday, feel free.
I'll play it slower for you so you can hear it better.
I believe the federal government has asked for you to send that tape to Guantanamo to play it slowly. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their January new Ford truck sale. Choose from over 100 new 2013 F-150s starting as low as $21,454 and new 2013 F-150 4x4 Super Cabs from just $28,389. The totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escape gets up to 33 miles per gallon. And SMC has 63 available, starting at $19,975. The top-selling 2013 Ford Explorer offers seating for seven and goes great in the snow. Sunbury Motors has over 20 to pick from, as low as $29,335. Stop into Sunbury Motors and see why they've been the top-selling F-150 dealer in the entire Philadelphia region for three consecutive years. SMC is loaded with inventory, and the prices are slashed to historic lows during their January new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, serving Central PA for almost a century.
Tell me why this is a land of confusion.
Love Phil Collins.
That's where you were yesterday, weren't you? In a land of confusion.
No, I pretty much made the points I had to. The audience once again has jumped on board and appreciated the perspective. And once again, another moment from your childhood's destroyed.
Got a baseball news for you. I'd like your thoughts on Delman Young, who just signed a 1-year, $750,000 contract with the Phillies. Think he might be able to get some outfield time.
No, I think he's going to help them. I, you know, you're not going to make a big deal in January, okay? You're just not going to make a big deal in January. That's the, you know, you make your big deals usually in December. And when you look at Delman Young, I think Delman Young is a guy that's going to help them. I think he delivers some power for them. I thought he, you know, when he was with Detroit. I thought he did some good things. No, the guy is not, this is not an old player here. Okay. You're talking about a guy who's what? He's 27 years old. This is not like they just picked up somebody and they gave him $750,000 and he's 33, 34 years old and they're hoping to get something out of him. Delman Young is a younger player at the age of 27 that I think is not just going to be a guy that they play every fourth day. I mean, I think he's going to be a guy in the end who's going to win the doggone job. I mean, people forget he was the first round pick of the Tampa Bay Rays way back. I thought, you know, you look at what he's done with the Twins, what he's done with Detroit. I mean, I think this guy, I know his power numbers have fallen off, but, you know, you look back just 2 years ago. Hey, 2 years ago, back in 2010, the guy had 21 home runs, drove in 112.
I think he had 18 last year.
I mean, I can live with that. I mean, I can live with that.
Well, he's going to compete for time with, let's see, Darren Ruff, Dominic Brown.
He'll beat them out.
Mayberry.
He'll beat them out. He'll beat them out.
I think he's got a chance. Mayberry has been streaky at best.
He'll win the job. Okay, he's only 27 years old. I mean, that's all he is. This guy has kind of grown up in the major leagues.
Is this a better deal than Hairston or trading for Vernon Wells?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this guy's going to hit 280 for them. I think he's going to hit at least 20 home runs. I think he's going to drive in 90 runs. I mean, I think that's what he can do. I think he may steal at least 10 bases for him, too. He is, you know, he's not a bad player. He drove in 74 runs last year with Detroit, and believe me, Delmon Young will hit for more power at Citizens Bank Park than he hit in Detroit. Simple as that. I think it's a really good, solid economical pickup. I think they just added to their lineup.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Memorial planned. AccuWeather says mostly cloudy tonight, a low 8. Good afternoon, I'm Sarah Bartlett, WKOK News. A celebration of life has been planned to remember an 18-year-old Line Mountain graduate who was killed in a crash over the weekend. The memorial will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday for Jared Wood, and it'll be held at the Mountainside Assembly of God Church in Cole Township. Wood was involved in a crash on Schwaben Creek Road near Dornsife Saturday. He was the passenger in a vehicle being driven by 21-year-old Aaron Rothermel of Treverton. The vehicle veered off the road and struck a tree. Wood was taken to Geisinger Medical Center and pronounced dead on Sunday. The movie Promised Land was filmed in Pennsylvania and is based on a fictional gas company who comes to a small Pennsylvania town trying to convince residents to lease their land so the company can drill. Reverend Leah Shade of the United in Christ Lutheran Church in Lewisburg is an environmental advocate who saw the movie.
It allows you, no matter what side of the issue you're on, to really see what went on before any drilling even took place, what goes on in these towns where they go in, and the tactics that they use in order to make connections in the community.
The film received criticism from pro-drilling companies who called the work fiction that caused unfounded concerns about fracking. Shade says, if nothing else, at least the movie may start a conversation. Promised Land is still out in local theaters, and you can read Shade's full review of the movie online at our website, WKOK.com. Abortion opponents are marking the 40th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade ruling with a push for yet more restrictions after a string of legislative victories narrowing access to the procedure. The 1973 Supreme Court decision established the right to abortion. Hundreds of anti-abortion activists are gathering in Topeka today for workshops and prayer services. There are concerns in Britain about possible reprisals against the royal family now that Prince Harry has asserted that he killed Taliban fighters while he was deployed in Afghanistan. His comments came during a 20-week deployment as a gunner in a British Apache helicopter. The deployment is now over, and the interview was released for publication last night. And Nancy Pepin loves Twinkies, but not to eat. She's a Nevada artist who incorporates the cream-filled snacks into her work. She says Twinkies are the ultimate American food icon, so when Hostess Brands announced plans to shut it down, Pepin bought 12 boxes of Twinkies. She says she needs them for art supplies. Pepin has created everything from The Last Supper with Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and Ho-Hos to a pin-up calendar with Miss Twinkie. Pepin isn't too worried about her favorite subject disappearing for good. She says she's confident another company will continue Twinkie production. AccuWeather says mostly cloudy tonight, a low 8, then cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries, very cold, high 20, and then cold with times of clouds and sun Thursday, high 24. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's back to the Steve Jones Show right after this on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello, 2013.
That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Elantra Sales District.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490.
Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off,
plus 0% financing for 60 months.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at SunburyMotors.com. Or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The woman whose photo was used as the face of the Twitter account of Manti Te'o's supposed alleged girlfriend says the man allegedly behind the hoax confessed and apologized to her. Diane O'Meara told NBC's Today show that Rania Tuiasosopo used pictures of her without her knowledge in creating a fake woman called Lene Kakua. How could she not know? I mean, the picture was out there all over the place for how many months? Teo asserts that he was tricked into the online romance with Kakua and until last week did not understand he was being hoaxed. O'Meara went to high school in California with Tuiasosopo, but she says that they're not close. He called to apologize January 16th, the day that Deadspin.com broke the hoax story, she said. I don't think there's anything he could say to me that is going to fix this, said O'Meara, the 23-year-old marketing executive from Los Angeles, who thinks Teo's cute. No, O'Meara says that she never had any contact with Teo, and that for 5 years, Tuiasosopo has literally been stalking my Facebook and stealing my photos. Tuiasosopo has not spoken publicly since he broke the news, or since the news broke. His family said that they may speak out this week. Teo did an off-camera interview with ESPN last week and is scheduled to appear with his parents on Katie Couric's syndicated talk show on Thursday. So now she breaks her silence.
Weirdest story ever.
Well, it is one of the stranger ones. It certainly is the bizarre.
Although I will say one thing, I read a little bit of the interview. I think it was with Jeremy Schapp that he had the interview where he stated why he had said he met her and so on and so forth, because he realized how unusual this type of relationship would be and was concerned about what people would think. So he kind of made the mention to the fact that he had met her in person. I don't know, buy it if you want, don't buy it if you want. I guess that's as good of an explanation in something like this as anything.
Okay, so you know it's unusual.
Right.
Why do you do it?
I know, that's the ultimate question there. Believe me, it did not answer every question, but it's like, okay, I guess I can believe that reasoning.
And you wonder why I don't root for individuals. See, you've now asked me twice in 2 weeks when I stop being a sports fan because I don't watch the postgame show. Now, will I watch the postgame of the Super Bowl and the presentation of the trophy? Yes, I always do.
Now, see, that I'm not as interested in.
Oh.
There's really? No, well, I mean, the season's over. There's nothing to analyze anymore. At that point, I'm done.
How many hours of the pregame show will you watch for the Super Bowl?
I was thinking about that when we were talking about this earlier. I'm serious. I'll probably watch maybe 3 hours, but not focusing on anything for maybe an hour and a half. I mean, it'll be on. I'll be watching it if something catches my eye, but maybe the hour and a half before when they really start analyzing the game, I'll be watching it closely.
Kickoff's what, 6:29?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how long the national anthem is.
All right, kickoff 6:29. I will jump in sometime between 6 and 6:10.
That's sad.
What do you mean that's sad?
That's sad.
What are they going to tell me I don't know? Okay? What? Okay. Okay. Last week we had Mark Schlereth.
Yes.
Okay? The week before we had on Greg Cosell.
Right.
What am I going to find out from those guys in the round table at CBS that I didn't hear on my own show?
But you're smarter than me. That's the problem.
Oh, no.
I'm going to learn something. But you Greg may not.
But Greg Cosell comes on the show. You had to listen and hang on every word he said.
I did that. You're right.
Mark Schlereth on last week, okay? You have to hang on every word he said. See, that's what we've been trying to do on the show. We've been doing it. We'll have Kayla Klein on. We'll have high school coaches on. We'll have Joe Susan and Dave Paulson on, Patrick Chambers, Bill O'Brien. You know, but then we'll ramp it up to Patrick McEnroe in Melbourne, to Tim Brando, to Mark Schlereth, to Greg Cosell, all those Big Ten announcers we've had on. I mean, that's what we're trying to do on this show is try to be very specific about the people we bring on that I think really do it and get it done. Shannon Sharp doesn't get it done. Doesn't get it done. He rambles. Who cares? I don't care what he's... I don't care what he says. I sit there and go, what? I tune him out.
Well, he is there for shock factor.
I'm not shocked.
You know, that should be our question for the next couple of weeks. How much of the pregame broadcast will you watch?
I'll jump in between 6 and 6:10, yeah. Maybe.
I'll be earlier. I'll probably be around 4. Well, don't
you? You sound like you're mad at me for making that kind of decision.
No, I'm not. No, it's if you're a football fan, you'd be watching the whole stinking thing.
I am a football fan. You ever hear me do a game?
Yeah, one or two. I think I did. Yeah.
I am a football fan. But again, see, I'm in a different spot than other people. Okay, I admit this. I told Dick this, and I sort of told Jack this a little bit. Because Jack called me yesterday and we talked for about an hour, and I get tremendous. We were talking about Bowman breaking down game. We were talking on the phone about various things, and I'm tremendously spoiled that Jack and Dick are so good at what they do that I get used to in my own head how the game is played and how they talk about it, that when I hear other people do it, they're just not to that level.
Well, not all of us have Jack Ham on our cell phones.
I'm saying, though, but that's
would be fine. I'm more than welcome. You can give him my number. I'd love to hear from him.
Yeah, he's got it. You see what I mean, though?
I do. I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
So when Shannon Sharp rambles on, I've got a guy over here of incredible intelligence telling me what's going on, and I've got a guy over here with shock value. I don't care what the guy with shock value says. Okay? Now, there's certain people. Do I think certain people are really good? I think Tom Jackson's very thoughtful in what he does.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think John Gruden is very thoughtful in what he does. Okay? But we're not going to get a lot of meat and potatoes on this thing.
See, if you had your choice between CBS or Fox doing the game, I think I would rather have Fox do the game because I like their studio analysts better than CBS as a whole. But I do like hearing, as I said earlier, I like hearing Dan and Coach Cower talking about the game from their perspectives, both as a player and as a coach. I don't know that Shannon and Boomer have that ability to do it as well and make me understand it, make the average person understand it. And that's why I'll sit and watch maybe 2 or 3 hours of the pregame. Listen, I'm going to be completely annoyed when they break in to show somebody that's at the Super Bowl from CBS, whose network broadcast the premiere of their new shows coming up in February. You know, well, that's going to annoy me, but I understand why they do it.
I flipped over the other day, and poor James Brown, and I felt awful for him, is interviewing the E-Trade baby. Like, what?
I missed that. Oh. Darn, I wish I would have seen that.
Darn, what it was. I sat there and I thought, first of all, James Brown's a quality announcer, an intelligent guy, the whole thing. Tremendous studio host. There's a lot that goes into being a studio host.
Fox lost a lot when he switched over.
Yeah, no question. He's really good. And to embarrass him on the air for the second straight year, talking to the E-Trade baby. I'm sorry. I don't care how much time they bought. No.
So that's the question we'll put out there for email, stevejones@wkok.com. You can also use Facebook with the Steve Jones Show and give us a call toll-free on the Hillshire's General Store hotline at 800-795-9565. How much of the pregame are you going to end up watching?
I'll get in about 10 after 6. Look, when they get to the booth. You know, I like Jim Nance. Jim Nance does a great job. Joe Buck does a great job. Yeah, Jim Nance is a class act.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, but you know, it's more than that. I think Jim Nance is a real guy. I mean, I'm talking to him at the Big Ten tournament. I've had Jim Nance on talk shows in another lifetime. Jim Nance, when you talk to him, is very aware of what you're doing in your career too. He's a class act. It's like Brad Nessler's a class act. You'd love Brad Nessler as a guy. I mean, as a guy, you'd really like Brad Nessler a lot. Sean McDonough I like personally. Jim Nance I like. Jim Nance and I have something in common that we've talked about before. His father going through Alzheimer's. Mine, of course, had it. You know, I mean, so there's the human part of it. Phil Simms, please. I mean, you know, I don't know if part of that has to do with his kid. I have no idea. But it doesn't register. You know what a good analyst does? You want to know what a good analyst does?
Well, to me, a good analyst would be explaining what I just saw. Actually, let me rephrase that. Explaining what I didn't see. In what I just saw.
Really
and doing
good
it in a way that makes sense to me.
A really good analyst is that when the game is over, you feel like you've learned more about the game. That's a really good analyst. I work with those two people. Then again, see, that's what I'm spoiled. I always tell my class, one of the things I tell my class, never be afraid to work with somebody who makes you better. Well, whatever I am, these two guys have made me better as to what level you may think they've taken me from being a 2 to a 5, okay? but they made me better, believe me. And that's what a good analyst does. When the game is over, you feel that you know a lot more about the game. You know who does a good job? Tim McCarver does that.
Yeah.
When Tim McCarver's done, I feel like I've learned more about the game. I think when Ed Olczyk is done on hockey, I feel like I've learned more about the game. I feel that with Hubie Brown, okay? Hubie Brown, very cerebral as to what he does. Okay? Jeff Van Gundy, I was talking to Stan Van Gundy about, and Dick and I were talking to him about his brother Jeff. And Jeff said Jeff has really been helped by Mike Breen. You know, there's something about, you know, there is, you know, it's not just jumping from being an analyst and suddenly you're a broadcaster. That's not how it goes. You have to learn to be a broadcaster and then translate what you know into the broadcast. You have to understand the broadcasting part of it while also understanding the football, basketball, baseball part of it.
Dan Fouts. I always liked Dan Fouts because not only was he entertaining, but also informative. Not John Madden entertaining, but entertaining and informative.
I'll be honest,
but
John Madden early in his career was great. John Madden later in his career.
Loved Brett Favre.
Yeah. Yeah, loved Brett Favre.
Loved Brett Favre.
And bang, pow, bam, boom. I mean, you know, that's why, I mean, after a while, even on Batman, that got stale. College pro football analysts, Gruden, I really like, you know, and I think Mike does a great job with him. I mean, Tirico's a broadcaster's broadcaster. We're working trying to get Mike on the show, by the way. You know, I'll tell you, when it comes to college football, Todd Blackledge is great. I think Todd Black, and I think Kirk Herbstreit's great. I think Kirk Herbstreit and Todd Blackledge and Gary Danielson, the three top guys, are all really. I think Matt Millen's good. I think Matt Millen's very good. So I watch them. Rod Gilmore, I'm like, whatever. But Millen, Danielson, Blackledge, and Herbstreit are all really good. College basketball. When Raftery, I like. I like Billy a lot. I think Clark Kellogg's very good. Very thoughtful. Miles Simon is an up-and-comer that bears watching. Okay? He doesn't tell you what the basics are. It tells you more about the game. You know, ESPN has a depth of play with Sean McDonough is really good. Nestler's great. You know, Brent. Joe Tessitore's good. The whole thing. Nance is good. Buck's good. Tirico's great. But see, you notice I'm not taking, like, ESPN is the depth of these guys. You notice when it comes to CBS, NBC, I don't. Brando, when Brando does play-by-play and they get him out of the studio, I think Brando's awesome at play-by-play. But there's a real, it's interesting. You would think there'd be greater depth in this era because so many people were into sportscasting now. But then I get on Sirius and XM and I listen to my Big Ten colleagues on radio. I'm like, boy, this league's got a lot of good ones. Don Fisher, I'll see him tomorrow night. Awesome. Paul Keels, Will Tiemann, George Blah, Frank Beckman. You know, Matt Shepard, Mike Grimm, Matt LePay, Gary Dolphin, Dave Ennett, Brian Barnhart, Tim Newton, saw Timmy last week, Larry Clisby. They're all terrific. Greg Sharp, Ken Pavelka. Sharpie sent me a text last week, as a matter of fact. I mean, this league's got, like, some really, really, you know, it's interesting. That's why a lot of people listen to radio and turn down sound on TV. They want to hear their hometown guys. Well, I made some trips around Sirius listening around. I can see why. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Don't forget, Hilscher's General Stores, the sponsor of our hotline, at 1-800-795-9565, hilschersgeneralstore.com. And don't forget, you go to our podcast if you would like to relive the rambling Kevin Herr explanation yesterday in which he claims he was cut off by laughter and lost his place and lost his thought. That's up to you, but what's interesting is the federal government has requested a copy of that, and they think it could be effective in future interrogations.
Glad I could do my part for my country.
As President Kennedy said in his inaugural, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Kevin has taken up that mantle and taken it seriously. Tomorrow's show will be from Bloomington, Indiana. And we'll have that hotline open at www.hilshersstore.com. www.hilshersstore.com. All right?
You get a can't big say enough
good
booze.
Things about them. I can't say enough good things about them. I really can't. Tomorrow, Aaron Carter, the basketball beat writer for the Center Daily Times, will be on. Aaron played his college basketball at Bloomsburg, and, of course, his father's Fred Carter with the Philadelphia 76ers. And Ron Cook from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette will be on the show. Hilshers, by the way, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed Sundays. The weekly menu, always available. Fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, potato wedges, and specials. Hot and cold deli. Breads baked fresh daily. Clothing, shoes, hats, mechanical alarm clocks, cast iron campware.
Where was the last time you found a place?
Hard to find items.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Where was the last time you found a mechanical alarm clock somewhere?
Well, Hilshers.
Yeah, my digital one goes off in the morning, and sometimes I actually figure out how to turn it off.
You know, a place that was great in State College for a long time was a place called O.W. Houts. Hilshers General Store reminds me of O.W. Houts. Houts is gone now, but Houts was a staple here in State College for a long, long time that people really counted on. And in this world of, like, go out and see the big box store, a place like Hilshers, to me, is refreshing beyond words. I am thrilled they are part of this show, as we are with Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk to you from Bloomington tomorrow with Aaron Carter of the CDT and Ron Cook of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And don't forget the podcast with Kevin. It's entertaining.